Today's Fan Run Podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
Basketball teams are entering the final month of the regular season, and they're gearing up for the playoffs. DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app, is putting you in the center of all the action with a chance to turn $1 into $100 in free bets. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN in all caps when you sign up to turn $1 into $100 in free bets if the basketball team of your choosing hits a three. That's code FANRUN in all caps for a limited time and only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older and Tennessee only to bet. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line 1-800-889-9789.
We kick off hour number two of the program. It's brought to you by the Knoxville TVA Employees Credit Union. Check them out online at tvacreditunion.com and become a member. They won't let you down like my play at shortstop. Yep.
Close the door. Gotta close the door.
Well, you know, it's a good lesson for my little guy to see that, you know, even your heroes make mistakes sometimes. Don't make the play.
You think he thinks you're a hero?
I don't know.
He does, man.
He does?
He does, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
All right.
You're a good dad.
I try.
You're a good dad.
You can do your best. That's all you can do, right?
That's all you can do.
I did feel bad about getting on to Xander Schauffele for choking on 16 after that. I was like, guess it happens to us all.
Karma.
Yeah.
Came back and got you, didn't it?
It did.
Mm-hmm.
It's on me.
Picked the wrong. You need to get a bigger glove. He needed a bigger club.
I do play with a pretty small glove for
there you go.
For softball. It's the bigger of the baseball infield gloves.
Mm.
It's not the small baseball infield glove. You try to play slow pitch softball with that thing and you can't do anything.
Mm-mm.
So it's the bigger,
I play with an infielder's glove.
In the outfield in slow pitch softball.
Hasn't hurt me.
If it hadn't hurt him, he's got a point.
If you want, I could replace you at short. Ooh. Since I got the infielder's glove.
Did you just get demoted?
No.
Is he trying to demote you?
No.
Oh.
He's trying to.
Yeah. He's trying to get
he's already tried to move around the diamond.
I know. Yeah,
which,
I know.
Which I think he did.
I did what I
did. You get on in the first inning?
Yeah.
Okay.
2-for-2 with the walk.
All right.
Good. Leading off.
That's good. That's what we needed.
Set the tone.
Mm-hmm. Table setter.
Who bats after you?
Well, we're
so
missing.
you only got first base, right? On the walk?
Yeah, bats after. We were missing our best hitter, our biggest power hitter. I think he'll normally hit behind Alex, which would be good. He's also real patient at the plate, so if he does get walked, if they pitch around him, he'll get the two-bagger because we'll put a girl behind
mm-hmm,
him.
Mm-hmm. Just smart.
Good strategy from me.
Yeah, I agree.
And then in a weird way, I'm not a power hitter, but I hit cleanup, which, I don't know, that's just what Coach K did. Which is great when
you're good at driving in runs.
Which is great when I'm lacing them to right field,
mm-hmm.
hitting them out to the weakest link.
easy, man.
I mean, that's the game. Like,
no, it's true.
So, is it if you were starting a new professional league, would it not behoove? Would it not be in the best interest of the league itself to just say? Because I really want to talk about this without being on a side. Politically,
mm-hmm.
If you're starting a new professional league, wouldn't it behoove you to just say, we don't do politics, we do sports.
Mm-hmm.
We play sports in the big cities where people will come watch it. You know, if it's in America and it's a place where our fans will show up and watch the game and we can sell tickets and we're a business, we make money, that's our job. We make money so that the people that, you know, own the teams can make money.
Mm-hmm.
We make money so that our players can make money and provide for their families. We're a business. That's our job. Would that not be the best approach to the current political climate? Because it seems like Major League Baseball, and again, I think I can safely say this because especially now that the President of the United States, who's a Democrat, and the Democrats in the state of Georgia have come out against Major League Baseball,
mm-hmm.
who seemingly made a decision that was on the Democrat side of the political spectrum but basically end up making everyone mad because they obviously made their like Republicans mad who had passed the bill. And then the top Democrats, not only in the state, but in our country, then came out against the move also. So Major League Baseball somehow made everyone mad. But even if you throw that out and say, in just my hypothetical, you got a new sports league, aren't you at least going to make half the people mad or 40% or I don't know, even if,
yes.
if it, like, even if one party becomes kind of dominant, I mean, at best it's going to be like 60-40, 70-30. Like, why alienate 30 to 40% of people because you pick a side? I don't feel like you would alienate 30 to 40% of the people by not picking a side, but maybe I'm wrong. It feels like this is trying to placate the most vocal people instead of trying to do what's best for your business.
I don't think it's possible to play no sides because I think there's going to come a point where people demand that you start to take a side. And I think that's what's happened with a lot of leagues is they've come to a point where it's...
Yeah, because then you get ridiculed for being silent on issues.
I still feel like the group that yells at you about being silent is smaller than the group that you tick off by picking a side.
Probably.
But I don't know. Maybe
vocal
maybe,
minority.
Maybe I'm
right?
wrong. Maybe I'm wrong. That's something that's where the league should have to make. They should make the best decision for their league. It's a little different when you're talking about like NBA players and things happening that they feel like affects their minority group of people.
Mm-hmm.
I think specifically, I guess what I'm saying is that I think it would be smart if leagues would kind of separate individual causes, even when they're collective, even when it's like all the players are mm-hmm. acting in unison, and the league-wide kind of statement. I think you could separate those two things effectively, and that way, if any of your players want to speak out on anything they feel strongly about, they can. I'm not talking about censoring your players or saying that they shouldn't. Like, players should be able to make that same statement. They should be able to not pick a side. They should be able to pick a side. They should be, you know, like that. Like, that's as American as it gets. And the businesses themselves, I guess theoretically, can do that too. And that's what mm-hmm. Major League Baseball did. They made a decision, but then they ended up making everybody say they're wrong, which I thought was pretty hilarious.
Mm.
What was the latest headline? Will Smith's not shooting a movie in Georgia now. It's going to cost
really?
$15 million. Yeah.
Hmm. Well, obviously they wanted him to move or cancel the Masters because of it.
Mm-hmm.
And then did Biden not say something about, like, you got to be careful, you don't want to go too far?
Yeah, they started.
Even after
they started to backtrack after Stacey Abrams came out and said, like, you're just hurting the people that
you're trying to,
voted yeah. for you. So it just
right.
So then they're like, oh gosh, we gotta fix this because I mean they're in the business of just appeasing everyone they can. The yes man, like I just don't want anyone to say no,
mm-hmm.
Or I don't want to hurt anyone's feelings. Not so much what is in the best interest for the larger public, but just we got to make sure we try to make as many people happy as possible, mm-hmm. which you can't do. I've always hated that mentality. It's like,
it just,
you need to do what's best.
It feels like there can be people who are upset with the voting laws that still would want the All-Star game in Atlanta. They would still want the Masters at Augusta.
Yeah. Apparently, Joe Biden.
Right. So,
I mean, it doesn't get more Democrat
yeah,
than that.
I just,
like, I don't, and the Democrats in Georgia are mad because, like,
yeah.
they're losing.
Mm-hmm.
Not to mention, like, the actual people, like you're saying. Like, it's
business
hurting,
owners,
it's
right.
It's hurting people that voted on that side of the political aisle. So, I don't – yeah. Some Twitter reaction on this, you know, back to the NCAA thing. Sawyer says, I just don't understand what the NCAA is doing. For years, they've been implementing equality for men and women in all sports, and now they're trying to take that away from women. Make it make sense. Roberto says, hilarious that Title IX was enacted to give women equal rights athletically. Now, essentially – the NCAA is denouncing it. I mean, yeah, that's the way it feels. DC Coltrane says Will Smith not shooting a movie is great news based on his last 15 movies.
Dang.
That's rough.
I guess he has been in kind of a dry spell, hasn't he?
Yeah, when was his last good one?
I Am Legend.
Pursuit of Happiness, was that after I Am Legend?
Bad Boys 3? I didn't see it. I heard it was bad.
Focus? I
don't know. Huh? Focus?
Concussion? Wasn't he the doctor in Concussion?
That was pretty good.
Yeah, Concussion was good. Focus was good. I thought his character, like, he played his character well in Suicide Squad. It was just a terrible movie.
Mm. Mm. Okay. Okay.
What was that Netflix movie he did? With the aliens? You know what I'm talking about?
Bright.
Bright?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Oh, I never watched
where
that.
Where he was like a cop. His partner was an alien cop.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't watch that.
I think that bombed, maybe.
I think it was a series, well, like a short.
No, that was a movie. Let's see here. I'm pulling it up.
Gemini Man, that was with Clive Owen.
That wasn't very good.
Yeah, that wasn't
good. No, he was a genie in Aladdin.
King Richard.
Was that good?
I don't know.
Never saw it.
I heard Collateral Beauty was good, but I don't know. I didn't watch it.
Nothing on top of Wild Wild West, though. What a flick. Mm. That was a great movie. Jim West. It was a great name.
Mm-hmm.
And then he did a rap song.
Oh, there's going to be a Bright 2, so I doubt it bombed too bad.
Really?
Yeah, apparently they just announced it.
Okay. Well, maybe it was good. Mm-hmm. I think I watched a little bit, but I was just like, I can't follow what's going
Bad
on.
Bad Boys 4 is in pre-production.
Huh?
Bad Boys 4.
Indiana Jones, we got a new one of those coming out soon.
Do we?
Yeah.
Yeah, apparently. Is Harrison Ford in it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I guess he's fully healed after his plane crash? Hasn't he crashed two planes now?
I don't know.
He crashed a plane?
Yeah, he's a pilot. He's in a pretty bad plane accident a while back. Okay. Well, glad we got all that taken care of.
Men in Black 3.
I Am Legend. There was a third one?
I Am Legend was after The Pursuit of Happiness.
Men in Black 3, was he even in that one? Wasn't that the one with...
I thought that was Chris Hemsworth.
No, yeah. I think that was like a...
It's on his actor list. I don't know.
They like renewed... They like made a new version of it.
So was he in like a cameo role maybe?
No. Hmm. Neither was Tommy Lee Jones. The only one who was returning, I think... I haven't seen...
Probably Rip Torn?
I haven't seen the movie, but I knew Liam Neeson was in it.
Mm.
Which Liam Neeson was in the original, like, one of the original ones, I thought.
You sure about that?
Yeah, I don't remember him. He wasn't in the first one.
We got some fact checking to do. We'll come back. Stick with us more hour two next. Hour two continues. Live from the Fan Run Studios, Fox Sports Knoxville.
Rick Barnes filled out his staff yesterday.
That's optimistic.
I hope so.
Who's the new guy? Tell us about him.
Marquette associate head coach, Justin Gainey.
All right.
Which I think could help us in getting the four-star center out of North Carolina.
I think that was the move. There's apparently a player who was committed to Marquette as well, who was a big man, that this might help us get.
So two of them.
Mm-hmm. There could be two players. Let's see here.
So Jonas Idu out of Charlotte would be the one I was mentioning.
Let's see here. Doesn't mention it in the article. But no, yeah, there's a couple players. I think one is in the transfer portal from Marquette that he may help us get. And then, yeah, the one from North Carolina. But Rod Clark, Justin Gainey, new additions to Rick Barnes' staff. And, hey, things are looking up. Oh, man. So Quentin Dibunje, his last name is actually Iobo? Dibunje is his middle name? I didn't know this.
Didn't even.
Still no star ranking for him. Also, I didn't know. I thought Justin Powell was a four-star coming out of high school. He was actually only a three. Still no update on his eligibility status as of now for the upcoming season. But I don't know how that's going to work. Within the conference, is that going to be a conference decision, or we have to wait for the NCAA's one-time transfer thing?
I don't know, man. That's all a mess.
Mm.
What else is new?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, one of our conference foes got a little stronger on the inside yesterday as well. As a seven-footer from North Carolina, Kessler, went to Auburn to play for Bridgeboro.
Wait, what? He officially did that?
Yeah. Put it on his Instagram.
Oh, man. Okay. All right.
Walker Kessler picked Auburn over Gonzaga. And, you know, Tennessee was reportedly in the mix there a little bit earlier. But we talked about it yesterday, how he had been at Auburn over the weekend. And it was trending that way.
Mm-hmm.
Former five-star prospect from the 2020 class announced on Instagram Monday evening that he committed to Auburn. Kessler's the third transfer pickup for Bruce Pearl's program this offseason, joining College of Charleston combo guard Zepp Jasper and Eastern Kentucky point guard Wendell Green Jr. I'm excited to play for a great coach and at an awesome school and be close to home and my family, Kessler posted.
Wait, where's he from?
Georgia.
Like right around Chattanooga, right?
Fairburn, Georgia. Hmm. Woodward Academy. That's outside Atlanta.
Oh. Okay. I had not actually seen that news. That's a bummer. Don't like that.
Yeah.
In all honesty, I think
it makes
for
I mean,
how
it makes,
he wants to play,
yeah, it
that's
makes
the
sense.
Best.
It makes sense. We said that yesterday.
7 foot 1, big man.
Wants to shoot the three. Got to get some big people. Large men. As Jeremy Pruitt would say.
He averaged 8.3 points per game in the final 11 games to go along with 5.3 rebounds in 13 minutes a game for North Carolina.
Only 13 minutes a game?
That was just in the last 11 games. He played less than that early in the season.
Why?
Good question.
I don't know how to take that.
Yeah, I don't know. Just,
I'll be honest. I don't know what that.
37 we're debating, like, is he overrated or
underutilized yeah.
or a little bit of both, and how will Bruce Pearl use him and, you know, all that good stuff.
Hmm.
So with Kessler added to this Auburn team, Auburn will now have the top two highest-rated players in program history on this team for Bruce Pearl. Their five-star 2021 power forward, Jabari Smith, .9985, and Kessler, his .9923.
Alex brought up Ganey's relationship with Jonas Adu.
Mm-hmm.
Four-star, .9775. He has currently 100% crystal ball predictions to Marquette, 6'11", 215. He is the 60th player nationally in the 24/7 Sports Composite rankings, the 7th best center, and the number one player in the state of North Carolina. I believe Ganey was his lead recruiter at Marquette. Also has offers from Alabama, Clemson, Georgia. And I would imagine, just a hunch here, Tennessee, if they haven't offered already, will be doing so very, very soon. He did have an offer, so that's good. Mm. At least we tried.
Yeah.
So maybe now there's a better shot. That'd be a really good pickup because he's in the 2021 class. So he'd come in, be ready to go. I think Tennessee is their 10th nationally in the 2021 class. You get a 4-star, 6'11 center, that'd boost you. Mm-hmm. You'd probably be a top 5 class at that point. On Adu, Jerry Meyer, scouting report, says this, long, mobile, and has positive athleticism. I don't know what positive athleticism means. Must get stronger and tougher. Functional athleticism will improve with strength. Has good shooting touch behind the arc. Can finish with his offhand. Decent rebounder, but needs more strength on the boards. Has good court awareness. Does not have much back-to-the-basket game at this point. Uh-oh. Good to great shot blocker. Has a lot of potential. Again, strength gain, vital. 6'11", 215. What was Kessler, 7'1"? Like
210.
Yeah, so, I mean, I'm not saying he doesn't need to get stronger, but it doesn't sound like he's a little runt. That'd be big.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm sorry, Alex. Adu was previously committed to Marquette, and then he thanked Ganey for recruiting him when he announced last month that he would be reopening his recruitment once Marquette made the move and got Shaka Smart.
Was Shaka even going to retain Ganey?
I don't know. I don't know. The Vols did make the final 10 for Adu when he committed to Marquette. Obviously, Tennessee's biggest need right now is adding a big man in the paint.
Mm-hmm.
As of now, 7 players have left Tennessee's program, 3 to the NBA draft and 4 to the transfer portal. Obviously, to the draft go Johnson, Springer, and Pons. Nothing official one way or the other yet from John Fulkerson. So we wait.
When do we think Fulkerson's going to decide? Mm-hmm. Let us know what he's...
You think he's going to try to get some like draft feedback?
I guess.
Is there really any point?
No.
Okay. Just checking.
You think I do to be stronger in the post than John Fulkerson?
I don't know. Never seen him play. Fulkerson, I mean, he was good last year, this past season. Something was not right with that guy in the head until late in the year when he finally figured it out. And then he got messed up in the head again thanks to the elbow from Omar Payne. Some other good news on Optimism Tuesday. Texas linebacker Juwan Mitchell, the Longhorns' leading tackler last season, told GoVols 24/7 that he has now received a scholarship offer from Tennessee since entering the transfer portal last month, and he may be in attendance for the spring game on April 24th. 6'1", 230. Leading tackler. Yeah, we could use a guy like that. We could use
anyone.
You just pencil him in. Like, you're starting. You were Texas's leading tackler.
I think you could pencil in a lot of guys.
Yeah, but him specifically. I'm just saying, him, he's definitely, you just pencil him in. Said he's been talking a lot to Brian. Is it Jean-Marie or Jean-Marie? I need to hear him say that.
I don't know.
Says he's been talking a lot to him. He made 8 starts in 2020, 62 tackles, 4.5 for loss, 1 pass breakup, and a fumble recovery. He says Tennessee's coaches have told him, quote, they really need me. Yeah.
Yeah.
We do.
Mm-hmm.
He says he likes the fact that we're in the SEC and give him an opportunity to start immediately. Yeah. Yeah. He says he definitely wants to go somewhere and play right away. I feel like we're checking all the boxes here. We need linebackers. You would come in here and start right away. Mm-hmm. It's damn near a guarantee. The NCAA announced yesterday that they will end the recruiting dead period on June 1st. Yep.
Good for Tennessee. We got to get some people on campus, get some excitement going.
So I guess that means his visit to the spring game won't be an official visit, but apparently he's already traveled once to Kansas State to check out the place and going to come, hopefully, to the Orange and White game. Check out Tennessee.
Kansas State, Tennessee. It seems like a no-brainer.
Yeah, don't say that. Kansas State, they've been pretty good recently. Better than us.
Manhattan, Kansas, Knoxville, Tennessee.
You ever been to Manhattan?
Nope.
I drove through it once. Not a bad little place. But it is Kansas.
Yeah.
Like, to go from Austin to Manhattan, Kansas. Yeah. Probably Knoxville.
Yeah,
just come check it out.
Come on
for a visit.
It's Optimism Tuesday.
Yeah,
he's coming.
No, yeah, yeah, we're gonna get him.
Yeah,
for sure.
Man, are Chuck having some issues this morning?
Hijacking the traffic report.
865-546-8200. If you want to join the program.
Maybe he's trying to play some tunes back there. She said, no, can't do it. Love to see it. All right. Sorry, go ahead. Continue.
We got Zach on the horn. So
let's do it. Yep.
Zach, you're on 3 and out.
What do you say? Houston, Nate, Davey, and Alex.
Morning, brother.
How are you guys doing?
Doing pretty good. Feeling good.
I heard that on my end. I thought that was something on my phone. I was like, oh, God.
I didn't know what was going on.
See what I was doing or before I get on with you guys.
No, that was Dave. Don't worry about it.
Of course.
Yeah, of course.
So it's Optimism Tuesday, right?
You bet it is.
That's right. I got some optimism today, boys.
Okay. We need it.
You ready?
Ready.
Here we go. When they hired Derek Dooley, I thought that was the worst, stupidest move in program history. Because the
it
guy
was up there.
had a losing record at Louisiana Tech. Not a losing record, but, you know, like sinking performances, if you will.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Then when they hired Butch Jones, they couldn't stay. I thought we could do a lot better than that. Because
mm-hmm.
Stupid Dave Hart was like, you know, he thought he was the smartest guy in the room.
Mm-hmm.
Then I was totally out on Jeremy Pruitt. The only thing that helped was it wasn't Greg Schiano for me at the time. This guy, I will say this, I'm rooting for him.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not doing the hype old t-shirts and all that crap before we get it. You know, what I'm saying is he's an underdog. I usually root for the underdog and I want to see him. I'd like to see him succeed here. Does that make sense? Like, he's a likable guy.
Yeah. Even with Pruitt, certainly with Derek Dooley and Butch, like there was you could sense some arrogance in their press conferences and like the way they spoke to the media. I don't get any of that vibe with Heupel. He seems like a guy who wants to come in and go to work.
Yeah, I'll root for that. But, you know, it's going to – performance ultimately matters, and everybody keeps saying, preaching patience. We've been pretty patient here. I mean, you know, you give a guy 5 years, I mean, that doesn't – I mean, we've been more patient than other SEC schools here.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe people mean it's just a little bit more patience in the first, you know, 2 to 3 years here. But patience is all we've got here at this place. So we'll see. Speaking of players, you guys were mentioning that we need players for football.
Yep.
I thought I'd never be seeing the day where we'd be saying the opposite for men's basketball. We need some players.
Mm.
You know, would you look at it this time last year and say, I mean, we probably figured Keon and Springer were going, but we would have never known, like, the roster would be decimated, and we really need some players to step up in order for us to have a good season. We can't rely on John Fulkerson down low.
Yeah, but don't you feel more confident that Rick Barnes and his new staff's going to be able to go out and get some guys that, I mean, they got Powell. Dabunje looks like a good pickup. Obviously, you've got Jemai Mayshak coming in, Chandler coming in. I think there's 3 spots left that they need to fill? Potentially, it's 2 or 3, depending on what Fulkerson does. I feel good about, you know, this staff's ability to go get a couple more guys. I mean, it seems like it's pretty easy for Barnes right now to talk guys into Tennessee. The brand is strong. I know we haven't quite lived up to it, especially in the postseason, but, you know, we're nationally ranked. At times, we play a pretty appealing brand of basketball. Feels like, I don't know, I'm interested to see what it's going to be. I'm not really worried about Rick Barnes going out and getting players, though.
Yeah, you know, Houston, I will say this, the brand's kind of repaired. The only thing that I would say that a little bit concerns me is we haven't really developed a post player since Grant Williams.
True.
So, you know, and, you know, Nate said it a bunch of times on this program, but you almost run an antiquated defense and run an antiquated offense. Is he going to be able to change some of these stubborn behaviors? Because, guys, next year, wherever you want to call it, you got to give, based on what I've seen, you got to give that ball to Kennedy Chandler and say, let's make some plays, brother. And, you know, and kind of turn him loose, if you will, if you've got any shot at making having a good regular season to make a good tournament run. Wouldn't you say that? Like, based on what you see now from Kennedy Chandler, it needs to be his team.
Yeah, we saw Barnes kind of wait with Springer and Johnson as far as putting them in the starting lineup, kind of get them acclimated. Then he tried to turn them loose there for a little bit. Then for some reason, I don't know if it was due to injury or whatever, we kind of backed off of that. I don't think there is a chance that Kennedy Chandler is not your day one starting point guard. I mean, I just don't think that's even in the realm of possibility. Like, he's that good. He's the third highest recruited player to sign with Tennessee behind, like, Tobias Harris and Scotty Hobson, but he's a true point guard. I know. I'm with you, Zach. I think that's what's going to happen. They're going to give it to him. They're going to say, hey, go. Well, and hopefully we pick the pace up a little bit, too.
I hope Rick Barnes, you know, reconfigures his, you know, his offense to fit that, you know, that strength of the team.
Nate, he's going to have to. I mean, if he wants to win, like, if you're talking about just, I mean, I want him to come back, don't get me wrong, but if you're just rolling with Fulkerson right now in the post, we can't just feed Fulkerson and expect to win games. You know, it's going to have to be Chandler driving, Chandler creating offense. We've talked about it, Muscovy's not a creator. He's more of a shooter.
He was a creator in his first season, and last year it's like they put the clamps on Muscovy for whatever reason.
Which I don't understand. He showed flashes where, you know, the passing, I'm sure he was coached out of that. You know, the fancy passing and, you know, all that.
But, which is weird because those passes usually were on the money. I mean, I know he had, you know, a few extra turnovers as a freshman, but that was to be expected. But I don't ever remember it being on, you know, some of the flashier stuff. It was just, you know, getting his pocket picked, leaving his feet to make a pass, not knowing where he wanted to go. When he knew where he wanted to go, it felt like the pass was always there.
Maybe a few he tried to force trying to be a little bit too fancy, but I feel like in the end product was more so positive than it was negative.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, let me leave you guys with this question. Maybe you guys can ponder it over, you know, this show or next show. But what's realistic expectations next year for us? And maybe you guys can discuss that. So, you know, next year, if we have a good regular season and then get bounced again in the first round, is that okay?
It's tough. I mean, without knowing what the roster is going to look like completely, I don't know how to put expectations on next year.
But if the roster doesn't come together and you're just kind of like, well, man, this roster's not even a tournament team and they're not a tournament team, that's going to be a big failure in terms
of... No, I agree with that.
The way Rick Barnes classified as phase two. I mean, it's going to be a wasted year in phase two, where phase two is supposed to be that you're in the tournament every year battling for the Final Four. So, I mean, you know, when you're paid top five money, you should be pushing the doorstep of the Final Four, you know... Mm-hmm. On occasional years, and if you don't make the tournament at all, I mean, it's a wasted year. And what are you? I mean, like, what are you building towards then? And is building even a thing anymore in basketball, or is it just every year see who you can get and go play? Is this kind of like you just walk out to the playground at recess every day and you pick up teams, and some days you get on a really good team, and some days you get on a crappy team, and there's no real, like, yesterday doesn't matter because tomorrow I might be on the best team, we might win. Stay up the whole time during recess, or the next day I might miss my shot and get on a bad team and I just lose. Like, is that now college basketball? I don't know.
Well, y'all take care. Have a good show.
Thanks, Zach. Appreciate it.
Thanks for the call.
The expectations for Rick Barnes are make the tournament, and then I think you just have to kind of watch the season unfold before you put expectations on. Maybe not the season, but until I know what the full roster is going to look like, I don't know how to just say, oh, yeah, we should definitely make the Sweet 16 next year. We're going to have a full team. I mean, based on what I see right now, like this very moment, yeah, this feels like an 8 or a 9 seed. Maybe lower than that. But you get a big man that can play, a couple more, you know, guys who can kind of play that forward position, yeah, maybe you'll be all right. Maybe there's, you know.
John Fulkerson coming back, would you classify him as a big man that could play?
Yeah, I'm not going to turn. Last year was just weird for everybody. Him specifically. Like, you saw it in flashes last year. Like, he's very capable, but for whatever reason, he just was incredibly inconsistent. If he comes back, you know, his head's on straight, I think John Fulkerson can play. I would welcome him back if I'm Rick Barnes. Like, I think, yeah, your offense can go through John Fulkerson. I do think he's good enough. He just wasn't last year for whatever reason. But you saw it the year before, like, that team wasn't very good, but he was really good on that team.
Yeah, I disagree with you on that in terms of you can play through John Fulkerson.
I'm not saying every game, every play, but
yeah.
John Fulkerson can be a, you know, 15 to 20 a night guy. He's done it before in long stretches. last year, again, for whatever reason, just he didn't have it. I don't know if that was maybe COVID related or off the court stuff. I have no idea. But I mean, he's a 6'10", 6'11" guy who's played in this league. Yeah, like I think was he second team all SEC 2 years ago? Yeah, I mean, like the guy can play.
Yeah.
I'm not saying he's ever going to be like SEC player of the year, but on this team, he would help this team. Absolutely.
Final segment, hour number two, back at you. Stick with us right here on Three and Out. Final segment, hour number two. I got those dates for you, Houston.
What?
Yesterday was the deadline to submit bids.
Oh.
The NCAA for your Toast Regional.
Mm-hmm.
It says the week of May 10th is when the baseball regional site selection will be announced.
So not soon.
No.
Like a month.
Yeah.
Okay. Welp. Don't know why they wait that long, but okay.
Season's got to shake out a little more.
I guess.
Oh, yeah. They said you have to be a good team.
Yeah.
Well, naturally.
Conference play just started for the most part.
Yeah, man. What?
Four series? Series already?
Yeah. That's been three. No, four.
Yeah, we're 4-0, baby.
In terms of series wins, yeah.
Only lost three SEC games all year.
You going this weekend?
Yeah, I'm going to try to.
Try to.
Sneak in.
I'm going to say it's probably going to be pretty difficult. Tickets, are going for... Huh?
No, I got to borrow someone's vault card.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Because mine is no longer functioning.
Oh, no.
That's not really sneaking in. It's kind of lying in. Deceiving in.
It's ridiculous. Still a student. Still pay tuition. Right. But I didn't pay my programs and services
and
fee.
You could right now, but you don't want to.
It's $510.
Okay, well, then don't complain when you can't go to the games. That's on you. It's like saying, I can't go to the game. I didn't buy a ticket. This is ridiculous. But you didn't buy the ticket. You didn't buy every ticket. That $510 was one ticket to everything. And you didn't buy it.
I can understand it for football. Maybe basketball.
So you think it should just be, I'm a student, I should get in.
Yeah.
With limited capacity.
I pay tuition.
You should get in over a student who did pay.
I pay tuition. I do more work than the regular student probably, considering I'm doing a practicum.
But you have to buy the ticket.
Somebody wants $500 a piece for their row 6 right field bleacher seats.
I don't doubt it. I don't doubt it. And you know what? Someone's going to buy those.
You think so?
Yes.
No one's buying those.
Yes. You can't get in for under price. $300 this week. It's a big game. Big series. Huge.
Probably some scouts are ponying up.
You can get in $170 on a Sunday.
$170?
Mm-hmm.
Still pretty high for a baseball game.
Got to text Will.
Mm.
Tell him I'm probably not going to make overtime on Friday.
Is that the one you're wanting to go to, the opener?
Either the opener or Saturday.
Okay.
Like, my friends and I are going to try to go to both. I think we're planning on waiting outside 2 hours before the gates open on Friday and seeing if
that's
works.
About what it's been taking. I think the Friday opener for Florida people was like 2.5 hours they waited just to hope they could get tickets.
Damn.
Yeah, I'm gonna watch it on TV.
Me too. It's okay. It's just the smart move, really. You know, it's just the smart move.
I just want to see. Well, you know, of course I want to see Tennessee baseball and support them. But I really want to see Kumar Rocker or Jack Leiter pitch.
Wait. You want to go to what? Turn your mic off.
Like, Tennessee's pitching is good, but these two are top five, like, MLB draft picks. Like, the opportunity to get to see them pitch in college, kind of, you know, if they end up being, like, a Cy Young level pitcher, you could say, hey, I saw them in college. Saw them at the beginning.
But you're going hoping to watch good pitching from them.
Both. Good pitching from both teams.
I want to shell Rocker like Georgia did. I want to put 6 over the fence off that guy.
You see, I would rather have a close, low-scoring game
than,
you know, Tennessee blasting like 12-0.
What is wrong with you?
I want to see good baseball.
No, nobody's giving you their wild card now. You're not going to, you know... live and die with the home team.
I'm not living and die. I'm still rooting for the home team.
Oh, Watterson. Might win the Cy Young one day.
Disrespecting the game.
You know, one of the
disrespecting the game. You're disrespecting your team.
Yeah.
Your university.
What kind of fan
your
are
fellow
you?
Students.
They're already screwing me out of tickets.
No, you screwed yourself. Like, what do you listen to yourself? I didn't buy the ticket pass. I don't have tickets. It's the university's fault. You could have bought that. You could have put that in.
Why am I going to pay $510 just to be able to go to T-Rex, play intramurals, and maybe go to an occasional baseball game?
I mean, that feels like a pretty good deal.
You're also not supporting the University of Tennessee.
Yeah. They're in a deficit, man.
Yeah,
like, golly,
hurting.
Do your part.
Probably won't be able to redo the weight room again.
If you're already paying tuition, what's an extra $500? Just say that's part of tuition, too. Whew, goodness gracious. Jared tweets in and says, the Egg Bowl series this weekend in Mississippi, tickets are $400 apiece in Mississippi. Good gravy.
Wait, is that fully open stands? Like, the problem here is we don't, like, our stadium's still limited.
If it's at Ole Miss, it's fully open,
yeah.
Which is even more insane. Good gravy. But that's also, you know, that's like a, like, Vanderbilt's our rival, kind of, but...
Yeah, but, like, doesn't this need to become a thing? Like, if Vanderbilt's going to be good at baseball,
well, that's
let's be good.
Yeah, we haven't been this good at baseball in a long time. I think this is our highest rating since, like, 2006.
Screw
like, you
football.
Know, we're...
Let's,
baseball school.
Let's
print
go.
The shirts. Keaton, get on that if you don't mind. Going back real quick, LL Cool J tweeted in and said that...
LL Cool J?
I mean, that's just his at. It's not. It might be the real one.
He's a listener?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yes, LL Cool J. On Twitter, at LL Cool, with three O's. Cool J. So, might not be the real one. It's not the real one. It's not the real one. But it says Kessler didn't play a lot because Roy favors seniors over, you know, talented freshmen.
Gotcha.
Big fan of your work on NCIS Los Angeles.
I'm sure he thanks you for that. Mm-hmm. Did you really watch that show? Really?
Yeah.
Big NCIS guy, huh?
Yeah. Nah, New Orleans stinks compared to the rest of them, but Los Angeles is pretty good. NCIS regular is good.
NCIS.
New Orleans with Scott Bakula.
Isn't that CSI?
No, it's NCIS.
Okay.
Lucas Black was in it. He got killed off, too.
Whoa, spoiler alerts.
That's a couple
seasons
back.
What are you doing, man?
Somebody might watch that on Netflix one day.
Keep it easy. Just giving away all the... No need to watch it now.
Blue Bloods, another show I watch. Good. CBS got a good crop of shows.
Got a check.
Oh, man. JT just sent in ESPN's Football Power Index top 10 for next year. And I am a little confused.
Wait, what?
There's one team on there that I did not expect to be on there.
What is this again?
I know we've canceled the FPI about a million times on this
right,
show.
Right.
But they released their preseason top 10.
Yeah. You want to tell us about next?
Yeah, next. But how? How is this? When? How?